going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Okay, prediction time!
I think that the player that may fall in the draft to the Bears is the tight end Tyler Warren. They may have an opportunity to choose between the first tight end off the board.
Think big. I think that's where the Bears need to go. I think they need to draft somebody on Thursday night that weighs over 280 pounds. A Michigan man will be a member of the Chicago Bears when 6'3", 320-pound defensive tackle Mason Graham is inserted into the middle.
With the fifth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Mason Graham.
All right, make this quick. I think this is the way it's going to go for the Bears. The Bears are going to stand pat. They're going to stay at 10. Ashton Gentry is going to be off the board.
With the sixth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Ashton Gentry.
Will Campbell is going to be off the board.
With the fourth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Will Campbell.
They're going to be like, what do we do now? Where do we go from here? Do we give Ben Johnson a toy? And we will welcome to the Chicago Bears their new tight end, Colston Loveland.
I believe you're correct.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Go Blue.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Not since Babe Ruth has man called his shot in that style, Mr. David.
Good morning, Mully. Happy Friday.
Congratulations.
Bears got their guy. Very good pick. I believe it was a smart pick given the way the board fell to the Bears. Colston Loveland may seem like a duplicate part to a lot of people. They've got a fine tight end in Cole Kmet, but I just think that Ben Johnson looked at this young man out of Michigan. He saw a lot of similarities to the guy that he coached and called plays for last year in Detroit in Sam Laporta. And the Bears made their move, got their guy, and stamped this draft as the Ben Johnson draft.
Yeah, this is definitely a Ben Johnson draft. We know that the offense that he ran in Detroit was the best in the NFL, and we know that part of that was him using the two tight ends set. The two tight ends, I believe it was third most in the entire NFL.
Only two other teams did it more.
Yeah, and so now you got a couple tight ends, so you can check that portion of the program. You feel good about that. I was a little surprised that all the offensive tackles went off the board.
There was a run on them. It happens every year. There's a position that goes like that.
I felt nothing but relief, Mr. David, because I had seen too many things online and heard too many people talking about the Bears moving up, trading up to get Ashton Jeanty. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, don't do that. Hey, you know, do this and do that, but don't do that. I just didn't want them. I feel the strength of the draft for the Bears is coming. I think that they got a really good player who's going to start for many a year and is going to be a real weapon for Ben Johnson, as mentioned earlier. But these two second-round picks and the third-round pick, these you need starter-quality players out of all these picks.
That's why evaluating the Bears draft after the first round is understandable and it's fun to do. But it also is incomplete because they're looking at this as a four-act play.
Yes.
And you really can't review it until the curtain closes. And that, to me, is what this draft is about, the first four picks. And I think when we heard from Ryan Poles late last night, you heard that similar sentiment expressed because he was obviously asked about the reports that were feverish and they were frenzied. And before the draft, you got this sense that maybe the Bears were going to do this just based on how prevalent the reports were from Diana Rossini. Albert Breer had some mention about the Bears moving up. And look, that's part of due diligence, I think, to make those phone calls and to see what it might take and to consider it and talk about it. But I think Ryan Poles is looking at this draft the way that he needs to, and that is to replenish his roster, maybe find a toy or two along the way, like he did last night, and get three starters of those first four picks. And that's the way he was looking at it, and I think that's what we have to expect, again, returning to action tonight when they have two more picks in the second round.
Yeah, it's good. I like what they're doing. I like the team they're building. I think there's still some really good players on the board. I can't believe that the cornerback out of Michigan is still available.
Tells you a little bit about the medicals. We talked about that with Abdul Carter. You wondered about other players in the first round.
Yes.
Will Johnson dropping out of the first round, given his skill set.
Yeah.
Had he been healthy, he's a top 10 pick. He clearly isn't healthy.
Right. And I think, David, that the one that seems to have captured everyone's attention is this storyline that's ongoing with Shedeur Sanders. Mm-hmm. And I know we're not in the quarterback evaluation business this year out of the draft, but that is a really – it's interesting that he is now available, that a team like Cleveland that traded down and got a really good player out of Michigan – might be able to take a quarterback. You know, they're still trying to figure out what to do.
All's forgiven in Cleveland.
Well, I know
the Sanders probably hold a grudge against every team that passed on Shedeur in the first round.
Yeah, but I mean,
you can't let that bother you.
I think. Would you call him? Would you, if you were a general manager, would you have placed a phone call into him just see what his mentality's like? Let me ask some.
Yes.
Is it possible that he's not going to be the third quarterback taken?
Well, if it is, then that's a shame because I don't think they're making a fair assessment. I believe that Shedeur Sanders does have some limitations, but I also think every quarterback that's drafted does. And last night, to me, it was a surprise that he dropped out of the first round, but I don't think there were all football reasons for that to happen.
Milroe is a guy that people like quite a bit.
Well, he's got great intangibles.
Incredible skill set. Not a thrower.
And skill set, he's unpolished, though. I think he's a little bit raw.
Right.
You know, Shedeur Sanders is pretty polished. He's an accurate thrower. If his name were Joe Smith, he'd have gone last night.
That's what the Sanders said.
Is that what he said?
No, he didn't say it, but the family has been saying that.
I believe that though, don't you?
I don't know.
I think if
he was a really good player, he'd go on last night
possibly.
No matter what. I think the position may be changing a little bit in the league.
Maybe so. But I do also think that if you say that, it's harder for me to agree when you see what the Giants did at the end of the first round. It's not like Jackson Dart is a modern version of the NFL quarterback you described. Jackson Dart is more traditional in his skill set and more similar to Shedeur Sanders. He also doesn't bring all of that baggage to New York with the Giants. that room is crowded enough with Jameis Winston and Russ Wilson. So now you've got Jackson Dart, who quietly will sit in the back and learn. If you bring in Shedeur Sanders, you bring in a show. And I don't think that's overstating it, but I'm not also sure that's fair to Shedeur Sanders. And here's the other thing, Molly, and we'll talk about this, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. I hate coming out of a draft and talking about what didn't happen.
Oh, no. I mean...
And not you, but like this is a story nationally.
This has been talked about every day, which I find it kind of insane.
But then it didn't happen. It didn't happen. So now we're talking about and focused on things, and they will be all day, they will nationally. What didn't happen? Who didn't go?
You keep neglecting to mention the kid from Jersey, you know, the Illinois quarterback.
Tommy DeVito.
Isn't that Cutlets? The real story? Yeah.
Is that the real story?
No.
Ask never. His agent. I'm sure he'll be making the rounds. He's on the Today Show at 7:15. Probably. Don't forget about us.
Yeah, that's so classic.
Yeah, but that's going to be a fascinating subplot to tonight. Oh, I would be no shocked doubt. If he goes more than 10 picks into the second round without getting a call. And then, with the Bears having 39 and 41, good. Get Shedeur Sanders to somebody.
Yeah.
Draft another quarterback.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Because there's some good players still out there available for the Bears.
No doubt about it.
And if you look at these guys tonight as potential starters, contributors from week one on, then they're going to be some good players that they can add to the mix.
Yeah. Who's the next tackle off the board? The kid from Minnesota. I don't know if that's still too early for him, but it's not too early to take a tackle if you need a tackle.
Well, not when you have passed on the tackles. Now, going back to the Bears' mindset and going back to the Bears' approach, I did wonder, as the pick started to come off the board, I did wonder if at 9, that was where I was most surprised. Kelvin Banks Jr. going to the Saints, coming off the board as the third tackle taken.
Yeah.
They're always a run at one position. Often it might be a pass rusher. Sometimes it's a quarterback. But Kelvin Banks Jr. becoming the third offensive tackle at 9, to me, I think, gave the Bears and pushed the Bears in that direction.
Oh, no question about it.
I do wonder what they might have done if the Saints had gone to another direction.
They may well have gone in the same direction. They may well have been down that road. But I think clearly the Saints believed that they were going to go in that direction. You know what I mean?
Right.
They took a guy was the third one before the Bears could get him. I really believe that they were aware that the Bears were in the market for a tackle and probably, you know, it helped them make that selection for them. I don't know that it was the right pick for New Orleans. Time will tell on all these things, but I'm with you. The very fact that, okay, the tackles are cleaned out. Now who do you take? Well, here we go. Let's go with the unicorn.
And, Molly, I don't think that when you talk about offensive tackles, if there are – there are a lot of good players still left on the board. The tackle you're referencing is the Minnesota kid.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Ursary.
Yes. Yeah.
Ariante Ursary, who didn't start playing, I think, football until high school. He was a basketball player. And then – but you look at his tape, and we were talking about this the other day with Clay Harbor – who's going to join us again today to talk about the tight end selection.
Oh, good.
Ursary blocked Abdul Carter and held his own. He was very good. He's got good tape. And I just wonder if he's a guy that you look at with either 39 or 41, if he's still on the board, if the Bears address a position that they went into this draft fixated on.
Yeah, I think that is – if they come out with him, I think they need a running back too.
Yeah.
Just looking at what they want to do and the way that they've now gotten themselves the tight end and they can run the two tight end set. Well, that they probably need a more explosive running back than the one that they currently have. And I would love to see him grab one of the Ohio State guys. I think that
Trayvon Henderson. Yeah,
would
I think
be
that's the one. If he's there,
player. Yeah. If he's there,
yeah.
The kid from Iowa is still
Caleb
there.
Caleb Johnson. That may be a little high. 41.
But there's still a couple of them. I'm just saying. They'll be. You know, maybe you want to get a Cam Scataboo in the third round. That's how you roll. But I was saying, I think we kind of know the positions. We kind of know players that are available at those positions.
What I like about the Bears pick is that, to me, it reflects, again, a common sense approach to a decision. and to a draft and just to putting your football team together, building your offense. Ben Johnson knows how to scheme a guy like Loveland open. He did it with Sam Laporta.
Yes.
Colston Loveland lined up in the slot 48% of the time at Michigan. He's somebody clearly is a wide receiver in a tight end body.
Yep.
And when you have that combination, you have a lot of options schematically, and I think this is consistent with the Bears' entire offseason approach.
Bears have only ever drafted three tight ends in the first round. I don't think this kid's Mike Ditka, although they both were number 10 overall picks. You may see a little bit of the other guy, though.
Greg Olsen?
This could be kind of, he's got... Yeah.
That's the comp I made yesterday, and I think you're right.
Yes.
But, you know, you remember Greg Olsen, and we'll talk to Olin tomorrow during our draft show, 9 to 12.
Right.
Remember, I think Olsen tells a funny story about Greg Olsen not blocking at the goal line during a game against the Saints, perhaps, if I remember correctly. He wasn't known for his blocking. He wasn't drafted to get in the way of defensive tackles. You know what he was drafted for? Get open. And I think Colston Loveland knows how to get open. You're not going to ask him to do much blocking, theoretically.
Theoretically, he's a better blocker than Greg was. I'm just saying.
Be, yeah.
I'm not taking a knock. I'm just saying I think he's got a big body. He's a cowboy. Did you see that stuff?
Oh, did you see the rodeo? Did you see him in his living room? The elks on the wall.
Holy cow!
Oh my gosh! Somebody, the taxidermy involved here.
I think somebody in on the ABC broadcast said, "Well, you don't have to wonder what that family does as a hobby."
Who said that?
Whoever was on the ABC broadcast, I just chuckled.
There were three elk heads, I believe, on the wall.
Boy, they do
on the
some
walls
shooting.
Of the Loveland living room or man cave.
This is the kid who would get up at 6 in the morning, go milk the cows, go to school,
go build the fence,
come home, have a nap, and play football. I mean,
you gotta love it. And,
have you ever been to the rodeo, David?
I have not been. I have been to the rodeo after the rodeo for a story, but I've never really participated in the rodeo. No,
I have been to a rodeo, which was an unbelievable life experience.
Was it your first rodeo?
It was my first rodeo. Now I've been to my first rodeo. This is no longer my first rodeo, but I got to tell you, the thing that stood out to me was how many people get hurt badly in the rodeo.
Yeah.
Mother of God, that is, you got to be hard as nails to get through a rodeo season.
If the animals were damaged to that extent, you'd have PETA all over them.
I got to tell you, there's no doubt about it. There's like an ambulance at the rodeo that is in working condition and working practice because people are being ambulanced out of the rodeo.
Small town in Idaho, 3,200 people, I believe. It can relate to that. I'm looking forward to hearing how he expresses himself coming to Chicago. And we all know that this is not necessarily the first time the Bears have taken somebody out of Idaho in the first round. Good old Shea McClellan from Chicken Dinner Road.
That's right.
Remember that story? That
please don't put their two names in the same sentence.
I'm just saying. Please
do I remember that story?
It's 2012. It wasn't that long ago. Shea McClellan came from Idaho. Well, it's a fact.
Check me out, Dustin. That's about all I want to remember about him.
Yeah, that was
disgracing a couple of Bears numbers in the
oh,
time
boy.
Here.
Yeah, they gave him every retired number known to man. Oh, my God.
This was a smarter pick. This is going to be a better pick. This is going to be the pick that I think gives Ben Johnson what he needs in this offense, and that is a second tight end to complement Cole Kmet. And I think it will be more Cole Kmet complementing Colston Loveland. I can't wait to hear how Cole Kmet takes the news. You'll know we'll hear from him, by noon? There'll be a microphone nearby somewhere. He will speak into it and tell us what he thinks.
Two things stood out to me about my trip to the rodeo. Was the first was that they said a prayer before it began, and the guy that was running the rodeo, he screamed at the top of his lungs, "They can take the prayer out of our schools, but they'll never take it out of the rodeo." And then they said a prayer, which was, you know, just a moment. And the second was the rodeo clown was an actual, you know, he was also like a stand-up comedian. He got up there and he told jokes between acts. And one of his jokes was, "How do you know that diarrhea is hereditary?"
Runs in the family.
Runs in the genes.
Oh, runs in the genes. There we go.
Come on. It's the rodeo.
Long walk for a short trip.
You never
water.
Could have told. You didn't get there, though.
Okay. Well,
I'll help you.
I know.
I'll run
I was
in your
guessing.
Genes.
All right.
It's pretty good.
Yep. We got any more rodeo tales?
That's all I got. Two little moments. There was prayer, which I just thought was wild, and then there was the bad taste choke.
Gooding, Idaho, is the hometown of Colston Loveland. He's supposed to be in Chicago later today. I think the Bears plan to introduce him later this afternoon. Before they get back to work tonight, 6 o'clock, second round begins or resumes.
He's on the way in, is that right?
I think that they talked last night as if that was the plan.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if they can get it all done, but that would be protocol. They typically have the first round pick in town as soon as possible and show him the ropes, and who knows?
He maybe knows the ropes, man. He's in the rodeo.
That's true.
It's going to be fun to see what Ben Johnson can do. And the thing that stood out to you about that particular pick was the fact that you know the guy that made it. And, we had talked about having some grace and some leeway with the guy that you've really enjoyed seeing come to town. And now if he wants a tight end and he thinks that's what he needs to get the offense up and going, I think everybody gives a stamp of approval.
I'm curious how they handled it with Cole Kmet in all seriousness, and wonder if they gave him a heads up, if they had that conversation with him. You know, players are back in the building as part of the off-season workouts. And Cole Kmet, he was a captain last year, was he not? I think he had a C on his jersey.
There were so many of them.
But he's in a leadership role, and he is certainly somebody that has earned some respect in that building, in the organization, in this town. And I'm just curious, not that he had to sign off on it, but I wonder, we see all kinds of stories, whether it's Kirk Cousins last year with Michael Penix Jr. getting drafted and the shock that he felt, going back to Mike Glennon learning at draft night party that Mitch Trubisky was going to replace him.
That's kind of what I wondered about Cole Kmet. Like, did he, like, you know, oh, with the Bears thing?
Was he at the draft party?
Was he at any party? Well, or did he, like, he loses.
He had to have been expecting this somewhat, because both Warren and Loveland were guys that were mocked in most top 15, in the top 15 in most mock drafts.
Right.
And this cannot have come as a huge surprise.
And as you say, I mean, you know, it's two tight ends. It's a two tight end set. You still plan on using him, but certainly Cole Kmet, all of a sudden, you look at him and you look at his salary cap number differently than you may have done before that pick was made.
In terms of receivers, in terms of weaponry, how does this make the Bears compare to the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, who got themselves a wide receiver of some skill and speed last night?
And it was a very popular pick. I don't know if you followed much of the broadcast. The Bears pick wasn't very popular in Green Bay, shockingly.
Yeah.
And
got booed.
Who's your buddy from USC? Who's Dustin's guy?
Clay Matthews.
Yeah. How could he?
How do you start an NFL broadcast for the draft with that?
It's just a hayseed thing. I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
Too late.
We managed to, like, you know what you should do, Dustin, to get over it? Just walk over to the Art Institute, take a look at how beautiful that place is. Or visit one of our
many
museums.
Maybe I should take
a
ride back up to Green Bay.
Yeah, don't go to the Packer Hall of Fame. We've
that place was packed. You see how many people were gathered for that? It's crazy.
Let me ask you. You know Green Bay as well as anyone. How many of those people are sleeping in their car? I mean, they don't have enough hotels for that number of people.
Well, they're probably gridlocked. They're probably just getting out of the parking lot now. It had to be a difficult logistical nightmare.
Wow. And they got to open a new trailer park.
Yeah, Clay Matthews crossed the line. That was really uncalled for. That could not have been scripted. He just went rogue on everybody and really tainted a broadcast that otherwise was really good. And
it kicked off on such an awful way. I mean, it wouldn't have – it could have been – as an example, it could have been in Dallas – and they could have done the same things with the Commanders or the Giants. I'd have felt the same way. Not as personally, right? But
what are
we doing here?
It was bad. It was amateur hour is what it was. And he had no right. That's why he could not have been on script. I'm sure that he was.
No, he said
Although I don't understand why the president would want that message sent, but he said that I'm going to go off. Didn't he say like a whole, you know I'm not supposed to start this way, Roger. And then everyone had a nice laugh.
Yeah, somebody should have probably, once he said
and
that.
Then, yeah, and then later there
security!
Was a beautiful moment for Mongo and the 50th anniversary of Walter Payton being drafted. Could you believe that it was 50 years ago that Walter Payton was drafted?
That's crazy.
Insane. But, yeah, do we want to hear that great moment? Brandon's aching to play it. Let's hear from Dustin's best friend, new best friend.
I'm going to go off script here real quick, Roger, but I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right? It says, my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
Drunk and stupid is a bad way to go through life.
Could I just make a request?
It's really the only way to go through Green Bay, though.
5:54, that's the last time we play that audio today?
No, we're going to keep coming with it every time.
Thanks.
You mouth off.
We got going to use it as a transition drop. When we mentioned Dustin, I was going to use it for the transition
still
drop.
Still do. It's something to look forward to. Hey, Dustin, enjoy the weekend. All right, we got to get to the pick six. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you believe Ryan Poles just drafted his future Pro Bowl player and tight end Colston Loveland out of Michigan? Does he immediately become something of a unicorn weapon in Ben Johnson's new offense? Did New Orleans taking Kelvin Banks, the pick before, impact the Bears' selection? Did the early run on offensive tackles make it an easy pick to like?
Yeah, you know, I think it was an easy pick to like, and partly because you didn't feel like they were leaving a tackle on the board. Not that I think that would have mattered. I think that regardless of what New Orleans would have done, I do believe that the Bears were going to take the first tight end, and they were going to take Colston Loveland for reasons that are known to the offensive mind, the guy that's now in charge, Ben Johnson. And I think that, you know, he has a pretty good feel for the kind of weapon he needs in his offense. And, you know, I know this sounds like a crazy thought to have had, but, you know, the Bears went from three really good receivers a year ago and invested in that to now drafting a tight end and changing their offense. And it's like, they still have great weaponry, but in a different way. So I kind of like that aspect of it. And I like that Ben Johnson is going to be able to come up with creative plays and use them with the personnel now matching more as to what he likes to do on offense. So I think that's an important part of appreciating this pick. And I think we do appreciate it, and I really I think the very fact that you're talking about a guy who he like just turned 21, that blows my mind. The guy has been that good a college player, and he is a very young man. You've got him now for a very long time to grow with the coach, with the quarterback, with that offense.
So the new saying up at Hallis Hall is no block, no rock. And this guy does block. Watching the tape, he likes to get after it, likes to have that hand in the dirt, as I like to say. Also, I think in the crafting of this question, unicorn, I think that's a big part of this. Saying to you guys at the break, not only does he obviously set up the 12 personnel that everybody feels real smart when they, gosh, if I hear that, you want to have a drinking game today on the score? How many times 12 personnel is mentioned? You'll be out before first pitch of the Cubs game. He also could be the third wide receiver on this team, and he could be that type of guy. I love the breakdown where if you decide to go into nickel against the Bears when they get into 12 personnel, he will knock the socks out of that defensive back in a run game. And if you decide to leave the linebacker out there, he will get right past him and move the ball down the field. So I love this pick. The comps are awesome. I mean, okay, there is the shoulder injury, but he did play following the shoulder injury. So there is that. I think what's a very interesting question would be, had the Saints gone quarterback, had the Saints gone pass rushers, something else other than the tackle, if that tackle and both tight ends were sitting there, we know what they would have done with both tight ends sitting there because they did it. But if you had both tight ends and the tackle, might they have traded back a little bit? Would they have taken the tackle? That's what I think we'll never know.
We'll never know. It sounds as if Colston Loveland was higher on their board than maybe many boards. And I think part of it was because the position versatility you're alluding to. This is something that he is different than Tyler Warren in that I believe that he does have he looks like a wide receiver, but he is a tight end. He's a wide receiver in a tight end's body, and he can line up in the slot as he did 48% of the time at Michigan and still do things against that matchup. He's a matchup nightmare for defensive coordinators. That's what you like. And when you go back to Ben Johnson from day one, his mantra offensively is you make the same things look different and different things look the same. This allows you to do that more often than it does with another tight end who might be more similar in style to Cole Kmet, and that would be Warren. Colston Loveland is more similar in style to other tight ends who are more receiver types, get open types. Clay Harbor compared him to Zach Ertz. You hear guys like that in they're less blockers and they're more receivers. And he can do the job, but he doesn't have to make that the primary part of his job. The Greg Olsen comp will be one in Chicago that goes around. Greg Olsen caught 742 passes in his NFL career. That would be, I think, acceptable for Colston Loveland. That would mean he's going to do a lot of winning. He's going to do a lot of scoring. And he's going to be here for a very long time. And let's hope so. He's a high-character kid from Michigan. He was a national champion in college. And I think that he's just going to be one of those guys, high character, high productivity. This was an excellent pick.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, 7 a.m. Once the Bears selected Colston Loveland, what player did you immediately wonder if they had bypassed and would regret? Was there someone still on the board that you personally would have preferred?
Honestly, not me. I don't. I thought and hoped that they would go for Loveland. I thought it would be a little bit of a surprise if they did. I know I predicted it, but I did also think it was a little bit of a long shot because I felt like if Warren was still on the board, they would go that direction just because that seemed to be more conventional wisdom. I also thought it was more likely than not they would go offensive tackle if there was one there just because of the emphasis on the offensive line this offseason. The Saints took care of that. Kelvin Banks might have been slightly overdrafted compared to some mock drafts, but that's their issue, and I think he also has probably a very bright future in that offense. But I didn't see anybody still on the board where you thought, boy, that's the one that got away from the Bears. I feel like you're always going to be comparing Warren and Loveland throughout the course of their NFL careers. It won't be quite as direct and maybe dramatic as comparing Caleb Williams with Jaden Daniels, but let's face it, the Bears did pass up Tyler Warren to pick Colston Loveland because of the reasons we just have talked about and will continue to discuss. But no, I did not feel a sense of regret and remorse the way that you might feel when somebody jumps to the front of the draft and picks a quarterback you weren't expecting them to pick, and then they have the reaction that they did in 2017 with the Mitch Trubisky pick, which still gets a reaction of some of us.
On three different text chats that I'm on, all negative. All immediately negative on this pick. I was actually very positive about the pick.
You're
I
in three
pick.
Group texts?
Yeah, I have, and you guys make four. I've got four different groups of
really?
Friends, believe it or not. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
All three of them, sorry for them, I know. All three of them, very negative, the groups. Very negative, thinking that they're getting too smart. So the majority of people, you just mentioned the name, David, wanted the tight end, also from the Big Ten, but from Penn State. They wanted him. That's who they wanted. Another one wanted the guy that I definitely didn't want, and that's the guy that went right after Colston Loveland. Williams, the track athlete from Georgia, yep. who plays defensive end. So these are guys that we are going to look at and watch from afar and see, did they make a mistake? But I think they've got the better of the two tight ends.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I feel like I don't have a sense of regret at all. I don't feel like they bypassed somebody else. I feel like they wanted to take a weapon. I feel like they got a new offensive coordinator, and he likes to run a lot of two tight end sets, and I had absolutely no problem with their decision to take a tight end at that spot. It didn't bother me, especially when you think about the fact that they did lose a third down machine wide receiver from a year ago, whether or not it worked out great or not. So I feel pretty good that they did what they did. I got to tell you, a lot of the pre-draft stuff was about the Bears trading up. And, you know, from the morning we talked to Clay Harbor, we'll talk to Clay again later on, but we talked about that idea of maybe moving up and taking a guy like Mason Graham. Well, he went a lot earlier than we had anticipated. And I was kind of thinking about different interior players, et cetera, because I'm a big believer in line of scrimmage. I really thought they needed to keep going at that. But I think that when it got to it and the tackles were all gone, I didn't feel any regret. There wasn't a guy, and I don't think I would have felt any regret if they had passed on the last offensive lineman. I just feel like they got the right guy at the right time in the draft, and I got no problem with it. And the very fact that they preserved the strength of their draft, which is the next two picks, really kind of makes me happy.
That's a tough question.
Who are the best players on the board to begin the second round? Anybody the Bears should consider moving up to draft?
You know, it's a strange kind of combination. There's tons of good players left, and this is the strength of the draft. I think that we talked about the kid from Minnesota being kind of the last offensive tackle for this portion of the draft. And if they were to get him, I think that would be great. But I don't know that he is even in the – if you're putting a draft board together, I don't know that he would be among the top 20 picks. I think that he might be better if you get him around later. I just don't think you're going to get him around later. So if you want to get an offensive tackle, it feels like you got to make that move. You know, the kid from Oregon – went late in the first round.
That was something.
The kid from Ohio State.
The
was
Chiefs
the last
getting
pick.
Josh Simmons was really smart.
Yes.
Joe Tooney's replacement.
Yes. So, and you felt like there are people that need that kind of a player. I think the Bears could use one. So I wouldn't complain about that. I think all the running backs are available, and I think that's kind of exciting. Hampton went, and other than that, there's only two running backs in the first round, right? So that's kind of interesting to me. I think that, you know, we mentioned the corner position. I don't know that the Bears are in the market for it. And you're right. Whenever people kind of fall a little farther than you imagine, it's usually related to injury.
There are plenty of good football players, plenty of really good football players. There are some edge guys. There are some inside guys. I think they're going to get two really good contributors for the coming year.
Yeah, I mean, Will Johnson's probably, from a name standpoint, the best name still on the board. There is also a pretty big safety on the board from South Carolina. Yep. 6'3", 220 pounds, got the speed of a cornerback. You know, from a local college type thing, Xavier Watts is still around, right? The defensive, the safety from Notre Dame. Maybe he's a guy maybe the Bears would take 72nd, maybe, if depending. So, I don't think, because there are, Mully, as you mentioned, a lot of the running backs are left, unless there's like a run all of a sudden, I think you can sit there and still have your pick of guys, you know, this afternoon when you're taking 41st probably. Right? I just wonder, do you think they feel like they have to go defense with that 39th pick? Do they stick to their, you know, do they get too offensive? Do they have to go running back at 39? That's what I'm curious to see. If there's a position that they're, you know, regardless of who it is, like, we need to add to our room, we're taking this guy. But I agree, Mully, I think there are plenty of good guys left, plenty of guys that can help the Bears in the future.
I don't think there's a positional mandate. You stick to your board and you stick to your philosophy, especially when you are in the rebuilding phase that the Bears continue to be in. Now, they can definitely feel like they're further along than some people do, but you have to accumulate talent at whatever position, and so it's the best guy available. A couple names that would stand out to me if they're still there, and I don't know if you move up because you still have two picks, 39 and 41, but Mike Green dropped out of the first round for a reason. Yeah. He might be the best pure edge rusher in this draft, and I know there's some character concerns, but you want to explore those because he's a guy that in the second round you're going to be more likely to take a risk you wouldn't take in the first. Mm. Ariante Ursary is the tackle from Minnesota that I think when you look at where he ranks on the tackles that already have gone in the first round, you wonder about that. But also you look at your roster and you might need a developmental tackle or a guy that would be competing for a spot if you have indeed give Braxton Jones competition this season. And he had a good film and tape against Abdul Carter. Now the safety, Nick Emmanuare from South Carolina, yes. He won the NFL Combine. He's a freak of nature. He's a guy that is athletically going to be somebody that inspires awe. Can he play? Is he ready for the NFL? Is it a guy that you would pick in the second round? Yes, I think he would be.
He might be the guy, David, because of the love affair with what happens down at the Combine. I'm just surprised he's still there. I'm just surprised somebody didn't even come up at the very end, maybe.
I think he was, to grab him. He was mocked in most first, as a first rounder in most mock drafts. Yep. And then the running backs from Ohio State, the tandem, Travion Henderson and Judkins. Those are the guys who you think the Bears ideally would come out of. One of the next three picks is going to be a running back, given how deep the running back class is and given their need at the position.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
Oh, yes, there are going to be a lot of questions about the NFL draft process. How would you evaluate the draft for the NFC North teams? And what was the biggest non-Bears development in the first round last night?
Well, I think when you look at the Packers, they got their wide receiver. They got Matthew Golden, and he's a burner. He's productive, and he's a guy that's going to give Jalen Johnson and company fits maybe for years to come. I think that was a good pick by the Packers. You know, the Vikings, sneaky good pick, Donovan Jackson, offensive guard from the Ohio State University, mm-hmm. is going to help that offensive line. They needed him, so I think that's not a sexy pick in Minnesota, but they've got enough weaponry and they've got enough flash that they needed to address the trenches, and they did that and they showed some discipline. You know, with the Lions, Tyreek Williams, I think, as another guy from Ohio State. Ohio State had a pretty good night in the draft. But a defensive tackle in the middle of that Brian Flores defense. I'm sorry, the Lions got Tyreek Williams. And he's another guy that if they suffer injuries again, they have more depth now to turn to. So they needed to address their defense. Overall, the division didn't get any worse last night. But that is life in one of the tougher divisions in football.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, the Vikings take a offensive guard from Ohio State. The Lions kind of, if you want to say, counter with a defensive tackle, right, from Ohio State. I think that's always interesting when first-round picks are kind of like, okay, they took an offensive guy, we'll take a defensive guy kind of thing. Matthew Golden, okay. I mean, another weapon for the Packers. He looked miserable on television, sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. He thought he was going to get picked sooner in that draft. You know, to me, the biggest story, and it almost, like, I felt bad for the number one pick in the draft last night. I mean, the trade goes, you know, everybody knew who the quarterback was getting taken number one. We all knew that, right? There was not a shock, Cam Ward number one. But then this trade happens, and they get off Cam Ward within 5 seconds, and every outlet is talking about this trade, and that was monumental. I mean, the Browns got significantly better. They got, I mean, you put that guy on that defensive line, that's really good for the Browns. They got a bunch in return, and they still have an opportunity, if they do like Sanders, to probably get him later on today. So I think the biggest story of the draft was the you know, Jaguars coming up and the Browns moving down. And I just, you know, behind the scenes, is it fair to wonder, were the Bears in that conversation at all? If the Jaguars were, you know, with the Browns shopping it, any chance the Bears were, you know, tried to get in there to try to get the pass rusher that the Giants ended up getting, Abdul Carter?
You know, I think that it's the first part of the question about the division is really an interesting one, because when's the last time the Packers drafted a first round wide receiver? Wasn't that like a longstanding problem with one of the,
didn't Mark Murphy say it was like 20 some years?
One of the quarterbacks that left, I can't remember which one. One of the quarterbacks that no longer speaks to the fan base was upset about
one
that.
One of the guys that's no longer allowed in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Matthew Golden, that was very interesting. The Vikings, that was really interesting to me, because the Vikings have fewer picks than anybody in this draft. They only have 4 picks in the draft. And I had been told that there was a good chance they would trade out of the first round to try to get more picks, and keep an eye on that as a potential, like, quarterback spot, if depending on what happened with Pittsburgh. So I was kind of looking for that. But, excuse me, they got a guard from Ohio State, who was the guy who kicked out and played left tackle for them during their run. Like, they had, if you recall, they, you know, yeah. There was a bad injury there, and then what's his name, Donovan Jackson, had to move outside and play left tackle. When I saw that pick, I thought, like, oh, is that, like, is his versatility one of the reasons they really liked him at that spot? And then finally, as far as Detroit is concerned, they really do have like an interior tackle type, right? And I think that another Ohio State guy moves in there and seems to fit with the kind of guys they like on the interior of that defensive line. So, you know, you love those you love the big guys. You got to admit that that's, you're always kind of envious when the opposing teams get guys like that.
Wow, that's a great question.
How will the Cubs fare against the Phillies over the weekend? How long can they get by with their offense covering for a shaky bullpen and a pitching rotation that's probably a starter short? Or is this just being a little bit too picky?
Yeah, we're being picky, but that's okay. We should be. They're being held to a different standard. Listen, they got 18 runs in 2 games against the LA Dodgers. So now they got 3 games against Philadelphia. I would say minimum would be 18 runs. Don't they need to do better than 18 runs? Shouldn't they get themselves 20 runs over 3 games and just ensure themselves a victory? If they keep getting 6 runs, 7 runs a game, whatever they're averaging between those two numbers, they're going to win a ton of games. And I don't think you're really... You'd love to see him sweep somebody, but win series, win series, win series. Win another series this weekend. Let that offense. I'm a little bit concern to see if Seiya Suzuki is out for a little bit, right? He's got the wrist, and we don't know if he'll be playing, and that will be interesting to keep an eye on. But, yeah, their offense has been absolutely excellent, and keep it going.
Yeah, keep it going. They've been great on the base paths. They've been getting on base. They've been walking a lot more. They've been stealing bases unbelievably. I think the biggest thing that is a head-scratcher when you come into this is, first of all, the Phillies are in second place. They're five games already behind the Mets, who have been just absolutely red hot. The other thing is the Phillies are not slugging. They're a game above 500, and they're not hitting home runs. They're just not, and that's what they're kind of built to do, that lineup. So if the wind isn't blowing out this weekend at Wrigley, don't know that yet. Obviously, the pitching matchups on paper aren't great. I think today's the key. You know, Colin Ray has been the guy that is now the in for Justin Steele. He has taken that spot in your rotation. Can he get the job done? He's looked pretty good so far.
He's looked very good.
Right? He's looked pretty good so far. He's the guy. You know, Aaron Nola is going to go Sunday Night Baseball. Did we really have to have Sunday Night Baseball? Sunday Night Baseball, you got Aaron Nola, who's not been good for the Phillies so far, against Tyone. I think the Cubs, to your point, Mully, will win this series and just keep winning series.
Two out of three. Kyle Schwarber, welcome back to town. He's got seven home runs, the one that got away. He's going to probably hit the ball out of the park at some point over the weekend.
Can we make, I wonder twice. If that's a bet, right? Like, just if you could just bet, you know, you can't pick the game, but could you bet, like,
will
over,
he homer?
Under, like, over, under 1.5 home runs?
He'll hit over. I think he'll hit two
over
the weekend. He likes hitting at Wrigley Field. I don't know if you remember.
He does.
You'll never forget Kyle Schwarber, Cub legend. So the Phillies are here. I think the Cubs win two out of three. Colin Ray has been very good, underrated part of that rotation through the first 26 games. Ben Brown, you hope that continues, and then Sunday Night Baseball, that will be worth staying up for after a busy draft weekend. Turn our focus back to baseball. That's going to be a lot of fun. So the Cubs are scoring runs in droves. They are doing everything well. They need to tighten up their defense. I'm very curious what their lineup looks like and who plays third base depending on who's on the mound. Is it going to be a platoon situation with John Birdie and Nicky Lopez? Is that what we're looking at now? Because I think the other two and other candidates have been eliminated from consideration based on their moves and actions. So it's fun when the Cubs are relevant and playing as well as they are. Long may it last.
Oh, that last question's tough.
What did you make of the White Sox finally ending their 14-game losing streak at Minnesota in a rain-shortened game on Thursday? How good was Shane Smith in earning the first victory, going five innings, just four hits, seven Ks, only one walk, Lenin Sosa, Miguel Vargas homered, and a run was walked in?
That was great. That was great. The baseball gods owed the White Sox one. Who needs the final two innings? The save goes to Mother Nature.
Rain out more.
Yes,
more
Mother Nature out. Gets the first save of the year. She can close games from now on. She's better than anybody in the Sox bullpen. So, Shane Smith is very good. He's to be taken seriously. I like what he has brought to the Sox. An air of confidence. That nasty changeup that seems to be getting a lot of attention around the league. So, every fifth day, you feel a little bit better about the White Sox. And I know he can't pitch more than every fifth day, but we'll see what they have to offer this weekend. I don't think it will be much. Offensively, nice to see them hit the ball out of the ballpark, hit ball far, then you win more games. They need some power. I'd like to see Luis Robert Jr. get going, but yes, yesterday was a welcome respite.
Not sure if this really should count, right? Should this be an asterisk? I mean, shouldn't you have to play a full game when you're trying to break one of these kinds of losing streaks? So did they really snap the losing streak, or was it Mother Nature aided?
You're so mean. I mean, they finally got something positive. Hey, they're two games ahead of, I guess, is it more like a game and a half? Because they've played more games. The Rockies are 4-24, so that race to the bottom is really, it's probably is getting heated up. It's probably as good as any race to the top. I believe the Rockies now are on pace to to get 27 wins, and the Sox are like 32 right now. I mean, it's really, they're getting some separation. I'm glad they won a game. It's hard to watch, and I did see a few innings, and I thought the kid was really dealing. I'll be very curious to see, as a Rule 5 guy who has discovered a new pitch, whatever happened in the offseason, he's got a version of a changeup, which I'm not even sure it's a changeup, but that's been kind of the difference for him. I just wonder if MLB is going to catch up with him. I like him a lot. I think he's doing great, but he's still a relatively new young pitcher, and I just wonder if halfway through the season we're going to feel differently about it. I'm not suggesting that's bound to happen, but I mean, this is something really good that is going on for them, and it's been a rarity because they don't have a lot of good
games. I wonder when the pitching ninja is going to catch up to him and have him on.
Did you see the pitching? Platform. Did you see the pitching ninja showed Ben Johnson's pitch along with, he did the, you know, the dual pitch. He had Ben Johnson throwing a slider, and then he had, Shota. And it was just so funny to see the ceremonial pitch being used.
Who watches the pitching ninja?
I do. I love the pitching
I know.
Ninja.
He's our friend. Friend of the program.
And we will be right back with the extra point. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, what is the Bears' biggest need tonight in the second round of the NFL draft? What positions in particular should the Bears earmark? Are you pleased they didn't move up or down and preserved these two second rounders, the strength of their draft?
I think as they go into tonight, they probably would prioritize three positions to me. Running back, offensive tackle, and defensive line. And the defensive line could be either a tackle or an edge rusher. You're going to have some edge rushers that you're going to make some decisions about. You're at 39 and 41. And there still could be some guys dropping. Mike Green is the biggest name and the best player, probably still on there as far as edge rushers are concerned. There's some concerns about his past, and I think that is why he's still on the board. The Bears, I'm sure, have explored that. They're probably discussing it even more today. If he indeed would be on the board, what would you do? He could be somebody who has an immediate impact if he can stay and clear some of those hurdles and answer some of those tough questions. As we said earlier, the safety position is one that might get in the way of those other priorities because Nick Emmanuari is a combine champion from South Carolina who has all of the measurables and is the maybe defensive back equivalent of a DK Metcalf in terms of just overall physicality and athleticism. You know, the Ohio State tandem at running backs with Judkins and Henderson will be very appealing and likely available if they are. You know, you probably could go down to the third round and Caleb Johnson from Iowa might still be there. So you've got some options here. You've got some depth to add to your roster. A couple of these guys that are drafted tonight could be potential starters. In theory, they should be. And if you're doing it right, they will be. So Ryan Poles still, the draft has just begun. The first round will get the most of the attention, and understandably so. But this is still a very vital phase of this rebuild project that is Ben Johnson is here to fix. I'd be very curious if his influence is felt on these next three or four picks.
I'm happy the Bears stayed where they did in the first round last night, even though there are reports that they were trying to get up to maybe as high as number two, and that probably would have cost you both of the picks today. I think edge and running back, I think those are where the two first picks will be made. And maybe it might be edge, running back, and offensive line by the time we wake up on Saturday morning.
I'm very curious to see when Mike Green goes off the board. I'm just very curious. Do the rules shift and change for teams that didn't take? I saw somebody, was it CBS Sports Lines? I saw somebody have Mike Green go to the Bears at number 10. They wanted to, they couldn't get a tackle, so they went with the best edge rusher in the draft, that kind of thing. And,
10 tonight?
They had him, whoever the guy was. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I saw the same thing. Yep.
A guy.
A mock. One of the mocks.
His
mock. But second round, they weren't.
No. 10th
overall.
Last night? Oh, wow.
I'm just saying. It blew my mind because I had heard that there were two different accusations, two different women that accused him of assault when he was at Virginia and he left Virginia. He claims he's never been interviewed or arrested or talked to by the authorities over it, and that it was like a rumor type situation. There's been nothing that we know of at Marshall. It makes you wonder how the Bears are set up for that kind of player, if they are set up for that kind of player. And what I mean is not whether you can bring a guy in who is got some character questions, but what? How have they changed? They got about 100 million people, new employees up there. How have they changed all of those different offices, and how can they help a person with issues if indeed they decide to go that way? And I don't know that they're going to, but I find that player in particular just interesting because, as you say, Dustin, we saw him mentioned elsewhere. We know that they need an offensive tackle. They do. And whether you want to accept it or not, if you're not taking one this year, you're going to be looking for one next year, because the fact is that you're going to have to make a decision about Braxton Jones, and he's headed to unrestricted free agency by the end of the year. So if you decide, oh, that's our guy, might be too late. You know, he might be on his way out the door. So I don't know where they're at with that decision. They could probably use, I don't know where we're at with Kieran Amayaji, but they could probably use an offensive tackle, and they might have to reach a little early in the second to do so. They also, as you mentioned, the running back position, this might be a really sweet spot to get like a really good running back. And if you're very concerned about your play action game and all of that, you might need an improvement at that position. Although they did go out and spend money in free agency and signed a guy awful quick last year. So I would say absolutely correct. Offensive tackle, D-line, whether it's edge rusher or guy inside, that Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle from Toledo, we talked about how there was only one guy that could possibly go on the first day from one of the smaller schools because they're all being recruited to different programs. That kid is available at defensive tackle. So they'll get two really good football players out of this draft, and that will be one of the things that we take away, that they'll have three impact guys after the beginning of the second round, and they probably can get another guy that can help a ton in the third round. So here's hoping. Mullion Haw, 312-644-6767, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. That is what it sounded last night, what it sounded like on ESPN.
Probably not the first time the kid's been booed in Wisconsin. Just guessing. Against the Badgers in Camp Randall, probably received a few boos when Michigan played up there. I like the fact he's coming from the Big Ten. I like the fact that he will be ready for anything the Midwest has to offer him. I like the fact he's coming from a winning program and has that pedigree. He is going to make an impact.
312-644-6767. A lot of different thoughts about the Bears pick. We'll start with Chris. He's downstate. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I absolutely can't stand the pick. I wish Johnson would stop acting like he's trying to build what Detroit built. Brad Holmes and Campbell built that team, and they started by building the lines on both sides, building the secondary. The tight end is a gadget that we don't have the luxury of.
Who'd you want?
Besides that, if you're going to take the tight end, Warren looks like Gronk, and I just don't understand.
Who'd you want? Who did you want, Chris?
Bears. I wanted a defensive lineman. There was ends out there that was still available. At 10, they took a tight – yeah, they got Laporta, but Laporta wasn't the number 10 pick. And I know that Johnson thinks that he's getting his Laporta. That's his – but Brad Holmes and Campbell built that team. And they did it – they didn't do it this way. That's all. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, that's going to be someone's reaction. I think maybe representative of a large portion of Bears fans, a little disappointed. But, boy, I tell you, they did it right in Detroit. And if you're going to copy something, that's not a bad blueprint to copy.
Let's try Zach. He's in Rockford. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys. At first, I didn't like the pick. The draft party I was at, a lot of people were pissed off. They were mad that Jeanty got took, which we all knew was going to happen. I didn't want them to trade up because I didn't want them to give up the house for one player. I do like the Loveland pick, though. I'm starting to. I guess it just worries me because I feel like, again, you know, we could have took maybe an offensive lineman or a D lineman, but I'm going to trust Ben Johnson with what he did in Detroit and here. What's your thoughts on them taking Travion Henderson possibly at 39 and either an edge at 41 and maybe an offensive lineman at 72?
Yeah, those are the three positions we talked about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I would rather have the number one rated or the number one tight end on your board than the fourth rated offensive tackle at the position. And then you were down to your fourth offensive tackle had you taken an offensive tackle that high. You would have been overdrafting. Moving back would have been an option, or you could have taken the guy that's going to help you immediately.
We've got Biggs time next. He's going to help us as we sort through everything. It's Mully and Haw on the score.